From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 86, Episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News.
Fuck off.
It's Thursday, June 13th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. All the guest co-hosts are great, but where the hell is Miles Gray? Where were you while we recorded Zeit? Talking culture down the hall, Snooki's letter on the wall. I bet Miles was somewhere getting high. Today you will find me recording Daily Zeitgeist. Cause my name is Jack O'Brien. My name is Jack O'Brien, and I'm white.
That is courtesy of Christy. I'm Gucci Mane, who said, I don't know why I announced that you were white. I just needed something to rhyme, so I appreciate that.
Christy, a Yamaguchi man, and I'm thrilled to be joined once again by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Sorry. Tick, tick, boom, we be banging down these back streets. Bumping Black Street, treated like a mathlete. Life ain't a track meet. Nah, it's a hackathon. Fuck the cemetery that a proud boy get buried on.
Okay, I'm just going to keep that there. Because that Ice Cube track, one of the first vinyl records I bought when I was DJing in high school. And Justin Chen, at Just Chen, you activated my memory. So thank you for that. You can do it. He actually has a full 16 bars verse written here. But
yeah, but I already took up a half hour with my AK.
Well, no, I mean, I can't. I'm not going to follow up Oasis with that. Out of respect for the brothers Gallagher.
How you doing, man? It's good to have you back.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know, thank you for having me back. It was a little touch and go there.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Oh, yeah. It was last second decision.
Yeah.
I'm excited to bring you on back.
And I'm glad. Hey, look, you were fair. You said, look, we'll flip this coin.
Right.
Heads, you stay. Tails, I'll do what I want to do.
That's right.
And it was heads.
Yes. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third by the hilarious and talented Ellery Smith.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hey. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here.
You got any AKAs?
Nope.
Any nicknames?
Nope.
Wow, really?
Yeah, not a single one.
Celery Stick?
I get that sometimes.
Yeah.
Funny, right?
No.
Hilarious.
Fairly uncreative.
Yes. I've never seen someone feign laughter more than
Yeah. Uh-huh. That was great.
Yeah, I mailed it in. Sorry.
Uh-huh. What's your favorite karaoke song?
Ooh.
Damn.
Miles coming at her.
Well, that's the thing I always ask when I ask
like
about
AKs.
I like
9 to 5. I'm a big what? Nine. I'm a big, yeah. I'm okay. a big Dolly fan.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Damn, Dolly fans in the building.
Yeah. Dolly's having a moment right now. I mean,
she's
having a lifelong moment.
Well, she did that all of the music for Dumpling, that movie on Netflix with Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. She got that NASCAR.
Yeah. I was just talking about me and my weird little podcast world. They just did Jolene on Punch Up the Jam.
Oh, interesting. And
you're going to punch up Jolene?
Me First and the Gimme Gimmes have like a very fun punk version of Jolene.
Yeah.
That's like, it's an incredible cover.
Yeah, you can't beat Jolene. And they don't punch it up. They basically talk about how good it is the whole time.
Right.
But it makes you appreciate how good
the only
song
way
is.
You could kind of punch it up is if you do the half speed version. Because that version that is. Have you heard Jolene
really?
Half speed?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a groover.
Yeah.
I have to listen to it. She met a little girl named Jolene, and that's what inspired her to write the song.
I know, isn't that weird?
It's kind of fucked up.
And you can tell that's one thing they
and
talk about.
And she was like, "Ooh, you
gonna
steal all
yeah,
these
exactly,
dudes, man? You
exactly.
Oh, Jolene,
exactly.
You trouble."
So
she
it was partially
man stealer right. record to this little 8-year-old.
Partially, it was that there's a bank teller that her husband always like wanted to go to, and she was like, oh, "I bet he wants to, you know, get with this girl." And then Jolene, the name, and all the physical descriptions are about a 5-year-old girl, which would be weird if you think about it too much. But they were talking about how the song is clearly like from the point of view of someone who's kind of in love with Jolene and doesn't like.
She had that ivory hair.
Yeah.
Had that ivory skin.
Because it's just like, God damn, you're beautiful.
Oh, this is it.
I fuck with this already.
Yeah, this is like good. A smoke of blood version. Yeah. I played this very on early in the show, but for people who need to know.
Jolene, 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 Jolene.
All right, so, you know, if you're interested in that, just search Dolly Parton, Jolene at 33 RPM.
That shit is fire. All right, Ellery, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to take our listeners through a few of the things we're talking about today. The internet is pissed off about Chernobyl selfies. We're going to place them in a grand tradition of just shitty selfies at inappropriate locations. We are going to talk about the president liking the first tweet he's liked in years, and it's a Rihanna tweet. We're going to talk about where the USA ranks in terms of the list of most peaceful nations around the world, most peaceful places to live.
Can't wait for that.
Not great. Poliosis. Miles, is what you're calling this next segment. We're talking about polls coming out that
are
saying
many polls.
They're bad for President Trump, it seems like.
Hey, this feels like 2016 all over again.
I know.
I remember I used to look at those polls like, woohoo, you're cooked, motherfucker.
Yeah.
But either way, still, based on what some people are saying, I definitely wouldn't say it's a good sign.
Yeah.
You know?
And Adweek has discovered a secret, newly discovered reason not to market to millennials, namely that they're broke.
They?
Yes.
We.
We're broke. I'm actually, they define millennial as 81, and I'm 80.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, yeah.
Oh, so you're generation next?
I'm just talking about with this article.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm generation.
Also, I look at my bank account, and I'm definitely not broke.
I'm broke. Radiohead doesn't negotiate with terrorists. We're going to talk about that. And finally, maybe the most important story in the history of the Daily Zeitgeist, the sommeliers at Mountain Dew have blessed us with a new flavor of Dew, the first new flavor in years.
Don't even tell them. Just
stay or
stick around.
Okay. It's exciting stuff what they're matching it with.
I'm acting like we're breaking news.
Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it for them.
It ruined itself. It's great.
Yeah.
What?
Give us a chance. Let me describe. Yes, please. Please.
Ellery, first, we'd like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I'm trying to buy a shirt that says vegetarian on it because I thought that would be funny.
Uh-huh.
So I have vegetarian shirt men's, vegetarian shirt women's, and then I searched vegetarian shirt kids because I'm small.
Oh, and did you find, was there an Etsy store?
No, I'm going to have to make one, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
There you
go.
Damn.
Yeah.
You just announced $1 billion idea on AirPods.
I'm going to do a cafe press if anybody wants to put in an order.
There you go.
Mm.
Or shit, we should just do it through TeePublic.
What if you make that shirt, but then it becomes like the next FBI female body inspector? It's just like popular with like toxic dudes.
I could die
because toxic dudes are like, I don't eat pussy.
Yeah.
Those dudes would not be wearing a vegetarian shirt.
But okay. There's like a subsect of dudes who will eat pussy like it's a favor to you to like prove that they're an ally. Yeah. I think that would be.
Like, I don't know if you remember, like off the rip, I went down on you. Yeah. Like, so... I didn't even ask. Like, I didn't pull my dick or nothing. Like, I ate you out and I'm pretty sure you came. So that's why it was cool that I called you a bitch in front of everyone at the movie theater. Like, whoa.
You're describing three of my ex-boyfriends.
Yeah. Or me so at specific. 20.
What is something you think is underrated?
Something I think is underrated. Spoilers.
Spoilers are underrated.
Yeah, I think a spoiler.
Oh, you're like spoiler alert.
No.
Here's
like,
the thing, right?
I enjoy spoilers because sometimes watching movies makes me anxious.
Yeah, me too.
Because like, if I don't know what's gonna happen, I can't like enjoy the ride.
Sure, sure.
So I like to Google the end of a movie before I go see it.
Wow. Yeah. So you and Jack are very similar like that.
You're the first person who I've heard say that, and one of the first people who I've ever heard who doesn't think that that's a completely insane thing.
Yeah,
to do.
People get on me about it a lot, but it lets me like enjoy the craft of the thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You can appreciate it more.
Yeah. No,
I get to like enjoy the details right away.
Like, my
the
dad
whole
is
what's
the same
gonna
way.
Happen is yeah, distracting.
It is distracting, and it's also like panic inducing.
Yeah,
for
I suffer from movie based anxiety. That's the. Sort of soft boy that I am.
I don't know if I told this story 300 times before, but I saw the movie Seven in the movie theater with my dad, and he screamed so loud and I don't know if you remember all the specific sins from that movie, but was Sloth. Remember,
Sloth
it was a dude
was
who was on the bed
bad.
And he was like basically a decomposing
human.
I
thought he was on the, there's also the Gluttony, right?
That was the one who had a bunch of force-fed canned spaghetti.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, Sloth was a dude on the bed, and like there was all those air fresheners hanging from the... Yeah, and the part when he wakes up, my dad shrieked in the theater, and it was like me and my friend, and we were like 12 at the time. We were so embarrassed, because he literally went... like, full on. Half the movie theater was like checking on him. Right. And then my dad always said, he's like, this is why I don't like these movies, man, because like I have to... When I don't know, I'm in such a... like elevated state of anticipation, anxiety. For when those releases come, all bets are off, and it's Shriekfest 97. I think whenever that came out.
But that contributes to an overall sense of dread, which is the goal of that movie. So
yeah.
Like I can't watch that scene now and not have that reaction. Like,
yeah,
like,
you definitely brace yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm also like a little bitter about having my emotions manipulated, which I understand is like the point of it.
Right.
Which is the whole point.
Oh,
but I'm
see.
Always like, you're not going to get me. Like,
yeah. Fuck you, man.
Yeah, don't make me feel about this.
So for you, that's your resting control.
Yeah.
You're taking it back. You're saying, well, hold on. I know what happens.
Yeah.
So I'll decide
I'm
how
I'm not
going to
be on this ride.
Yeah.
Wow. You can't get me.
Okay.
What's your favorite movie?
What's my favorite movie? Probably Sunshine Cleaning or Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh. You just anything with sunshine.
Anything with sunshine. Yeah. Well, one is
or the movie Sunshine.
Emily Blunt movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they're they like are crime scene cleanup people who are also sisters. It's a great.
Is there a mystery film, a film that had a twist ending that you liked ever?
I don't think I'm not a big movie person.
Great.
Yeah.
There you go.
Do you look up spoilers to like regular TV?
No, I'm less likely to do it for TV because I think maybe I care more about TV. Also, I have more invested in sort of character development in TV, whereas with movies, like, because it's so much shorter, you're like
on an
expedited.
Accelerated track. Yeah, for
sure. Yeah, yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
Christmas. I think Christmas is extremely overrated.
Wow.
Yeah.
You and I are not alike in that.
Oh, my God.
Is that against God?
It's against Christ, yes. Christ Mass. Jesus is the reason
back
for the season.
In Christmas.
What is it about it? Like, you just don't like the.
It's a lot of. I think the whole season, right? Because it goes from like November 1st until January 1st.
Yeah.
So, like, just the whole season is so wrapped up in expectation and also like capitalism and consumerism. And it's horrible, and it makes you feel like if you don't have family, if you don't have a place to go during those months, right? It makes you feel like you're not included in the sort of sentiment of the season.
Right.
And it's really just about like performatively showing your family how much you love them, even if you can't actually stand them, you know?
Wow. Okay,
and it requires like a lot of travel that I personally find pretty stressful.
Yeah. I'm definitely too selfish to take those expectations on, because when it's Christmas season, I'm like, this is my excuse to dress like fucked up, like sweatpants all day, and watch a bunch of dumb fucking movies.
Well, you're like reclaiming it for self-care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I have like family all over the place. I'm like running around trying to make everybody happy and like show up to everybody's Christmas.
Right. And that's, you know, I think that's my privilege with my dad's side of the family being pretty centrally in Los Angeles.
Right.
And then my mom, everyone on that side lives in Japan.
Yeah.
And they don't fuck with Christmas. So it's not like they're like, you're not coming for Christmas.
Yeah.
But the New Year's, they're like, wait, are we going
to
see
you? But you do. Go over to Japan the holidays.
Yeah, because New Year's is a big holiday, and I like to see everybody and, you know, check in on my aunts and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that probably not having anywhere to travel besides the coolest place to travel to probably helps with your Christmas holiday celebration.
And, you know, just think of Santa Claus, you know, because...
Oh, he needs some milk!
What?
I just wanted to use that drop. That's one of my
to go with those cookies. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
You know, he needs some milk. I'm sorry, I'm abusing the soundboard right now.
Ellery, is there a holiday you really like?
No, I have a similar feelings about New Year's. Right, I like Halloween a lot. I feel like I can fuck with Halloween.
Okay.
Great movies. There's like a lot of camp involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What about, the other ones are just drinking holidays.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm not also like not a big drinker, so I'm not really a holiday person.
Do you, and you have to travel back, is your family still in Albany?
So
this is really about Albany and you hating
Albany? Sort of. My mom moved to a small town in South Carolina, and my sister lives with her husband in like rural New Hampshire.
Damn.
Yes, so I'm traveling to a lot of red
states.
All the highlights. It's a lot of, and it's just I have a very complicated relationship with it because it's I come from like a fairly conservative family, and so in LA I get to mouth off like all day long about things that I believe in, and then I go home and I have to like button up a little bit.
Right.
And it's harder to
bite through your tongue.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, your little blood coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, I'm bleeding from the mouth.
Oh, really?
I'm
sorry.
Okay?
No, go on about the fetal heartbeat.
Immigration
bill.
Crisis. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And finally, what's a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false, or vice versa?
I think the myth that like with enough hard work anything is possible is like sort of a toxic one, right? Because it's just erasure of privilege, and it's also specifically like in entertainment, it's erasure of how often just like being in the right place at the right time comes into it. And it's also, it sort of like undermines actual hard work because you can get into a cycle where you think that you're not doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one that I'll.
Yeah. No, I think that is one of the biggest and most pervasive and toxic myths in the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
the
also
bootstraps,
like
exactly. Horatio Alger thing.
It's a crazy pervasive idea that I think you can internalize and then like weaponize against yourself in some pretty harmful ways.
Yeah. And then, you know, people like Steve Jobs's biographers and like all the people who write this, who tell the story of like huge accomplishments in American history, just write the people who helped them and all the privilege and head starts that they had.
Yes.
They just write those things out. So
absolutely.
People get screwed over and it ends up giving us this ideology of like where I don't know, like the way I was raised, like culturally, I feel like collectivism is like so foreign to my mindset, and I think that's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think absolutely. I think specifically Americans maybe have a hard time with like collaboration as a goal in and of itself. And I think that's something I had to learn in working with TV. It's like your ideas are not paramount, and nor will they ever be. The paramount is the collective, right? It's about like what we can all do to mold and to punch up this one thing that we're working on together.
Right.
And that's sort of like a separate topic from like you on your personal endeavors, thinking that if you work as hard as you can and like burn the candle at both ends, you'll eventually get what you want.
Right.
Which is sort of like setting yourself up for disappointment and not taking into consideration the fact that people are starting at different points.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
My bootstraps broke off a long time ago. Pulled on them shits too damn hard.
Too hard.
Happened. Yeah, luckily someone just discovered me on the street.
Yeah. I mean,
gave me this podcast.
The idea of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps is
physically
stupid.
Impossible.
Yeah, it doesn't even really make sense.
It doesn't make sense. But I think the original idea of like, well, yeah, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, it was that's impossible, that you need people to help you. And
it's an idiom we all got wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. There's tons of those too.
Yeah, why don't
I love thinking about that.
Yeah, that somebody was saying it sarcastically.
Like, pervasive ideology that yeah. somebody
it's like,
just
think about that.
Yeah.
Right.
How are you going to pull yourself up by your bootstrap?
That's my impression of somebody pulling themselves up by their bootstraps.
I think it's that, well, they're like, I mean, people clearly research this a lot because they're like, what is the origin of it? It says it refers, of course, to boots and the straps that some boots have attached to help the wearer pull them on yeah. and to the imagined feat of lifting oneself off the ground.
The internet is not good at finding origins of anything.
Yeah.
They just have so many false leads.
It's just like, I'm trying to think of what you could say now that is just as like completely devoid of any kind of like logic or science behind it, of lift physically pulling yourself.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's sort of like the ultimate platitude, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's enough to get you thinking, and then the second, but
yeah,
then you're like,
and then
wait.
You're just like, wait, that doesn't track.
My bootstraps? On
it's
my
It's sort of
head?
Like saying time takes time.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like, no shit.
But don't it?
Yeah, but don't it?
Yeah.
So. Ooh, think about that one.
Yeah, gotta
I
go.
I hated that. Let's talk about Chernobyl selfies, guys. What does that mean?
I love it.
Chernobyl, people are going to Chernobyl following, you know, people like to go to real life locations from their favorite TV shows and take selfies, like the Seinfeld coffee shop.
Sure.
The Tanner House in San Francisco.
Sure.
Chernobyl,
yeah.
Because there was that HBO series that we're still not discussing in detail because I'm waiting for Miles to watch
I
it.
Will watch it this weekend. Don't
okay.
worry. I have time socked away to be, go into a very dark place.
Yes. But the real life Chernobyl, the exclusion zone, has seen a spike in tour bookings, 30% more than usual in May and 40% during the rest of the summer months.
So, and that's off the strength of the show, for
I
sure.
I mean, people are assuming.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah.
Unless there's some other reason Chernobyl's really in right now.
Really hot right now. Yeah. And people are taking smiling selfies all over the place there. The showrunner had to come out and say, if you visit, please remember that a terrible tragedy occurred there. Comport yourself with respect for all who suffered and sacrificed.
Is there like a specific spot they keep going to? Like, is there like a memorial thing? Or they're just sort of like pointing to like a sign and like,
I think it's probably
like
that.
Like the reactor.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this dude's skin melted off here. Ha ha, lol, 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 please like.
Right, right.
Hashtag melted skin, hashtag Chernobyl, hashtag HBO, hashtag please like.
Yeah. So you were telling me about a habit that you have,
yes.
semi-annual habit.
Look, I studied history in college. I think history is very important. I respect history. And this is a thing of people taking inappropriate-ass Instagram photos at every imaginable kind of
right.
place, especially ones where, like, awful shit happened.
Are there 9/11 selfies, like where the World Trade Center is?
Oh, Jack, regale us with the tale of the bachelor party.
The 9/11 memorial, despite being a place specifically for quiet reflection, and the whole design is made for a quiet reflection, is often filled with tourists grinning for selfies. And in 2016, a bachelor party took selfies with a blow up doll there.
You're kidding? Oh,
yeah,
of course.
Because where else would you have your bachelor party than 9/11, dude?
Can you imagine what kind of witty caption? They're like, dude, this is ground zero for the end of Brett's fucking life, dude.
Yeah, inside blowjob.
Yeah,
right. Inside blowjob, damn. That's why she's writing for TV.
Let them know.
That's right.
No, so another thing, you know, I remember a few years ago when the Holocaust Memorial went up in Berlin.
Yeah,
there were a lot of people being like, please stop planking on it. Stop doing yoga poses on it. So every now and then I check in on it. And Jack thought I was joking. I have screen grabs from January when I was looking at it last with some of the more fucking weird, like just inappropriate shit. Again, this is a memorial to the Jews that were killed in the Holocaust.
That seems so obvious.
It's yeah.
so obvious. But right. when I went to Emerson College in Boston, there was like a famous Auschwitz museum there, and two kids were caught having sex inside of it.
No.
Yes.
In the fucking museum?
Yeah. Well, it's like an outdoor. It's not a museum. It's like a.
Right.
Yeah. Whatever. It's like a site. Yeah.
Right.
There's
memorial
like,
site.
Exactly. It's like a memorial site. It's outside. It's sort of like a little parky, but not.
Sure.
And yeah, two kids were having sex there, and it's just like so interesting to me. The things that seem obvious that are not right.
Right.
But, like how tone deaf. People can be.
Well, I think this is why. So, for example, this is one. Again, this woman looks really cute there. She has the location tagged. Ellery, can you please read the caption of that photo? So this is a woman looking cute at the Holocaust Memorial in Germany.
It says, "What a time to be alive, - Drake."
put a motherfucking Drake quote.
Memorial to the murdered juice.
Is tagged. You tag that photo there, and your caption is, what a time to be alive. Drake.
What a time to be alive also is.
List, this is another one. This is another dude.
That dude is just showing off his biceps.
He's flexing in the thing. Read this caption.
Respect to all the lost souls. Hashtag Peng Berlin 2018.
This is like his trip.
Hashtag Peng Aura 2018. Hashtag Peng Germany 2018.
This guy, okay, and then just one last one. This is another one. Just a woman flexing in her like Burberry outfit, looking really cute. And then this hashtag just says, hashtag memorial to the murdered Jews. But she looks like she's doing like a fashion, like outfit of the day type. But anyway, the point
everything
being
is content.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that's where you go to these places, which are meant to sort of inspire reflection or be like, wow, this is a significant thing. But we live in an age now where like, I can get some likes with this.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, let me just turn my hip out in front of the hashtag memorial for the murdered Jews of Europe.
If a quiet reflection falls in the woods, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
nobody's
exactly
around to see it.
And then will it get likes?
Does it count?
Yeah.
Auschwitz in particular has had to ask people to stop balancing themselves. I think this means like planking on the infamous railway tracks that lead up to Auschwitz.
What? You should be honestly like...
But this
that
makes
one is, like,
me
particularly
yeah,
horrible,
like, what the
right?
fuck
like,
what is wrong? Doing? Like,
this makes me despair for you guys' generation.
By one fucking day over here.
But
speak for yourself. I'm Gen Z.
Okay. Oh yeah, you probably are Gen Z.
No, I'm not. I'm the last year.
Yeah. This 12, this show spans 13? Three generations.
but this is actually something like our writer Jay McNabb was pointing out that there's like souvenir stands all over Chernobyl, like fridge magnets, radioactive ice cream, canned right. air. There's a
canned air.
Yeah,
there's right, a shout out to that entrepreneur.
There's a t-shirt, radioactive wolf, Chernobyl, and then the world's most depressing snow globe. It's a snow globe of the factory,
of the ash.
But then the snow is black. So yeah, it looks like
yeah
nuclear
fun fallout. Fun gift, fun Christmas gift
you
for everyone.
You can monetize anything.
Yeah,
yeah. So we've been terrible since the beginning, I think.
Yeah, well, also
since
I
the
mean,
invention of
there's
souvenirs.
Plenty of 9/11 souvenirs. You know, every place that
oh,
deals
yes,
with money,
never forget.
Any capitalist place is
any
gonna
right.
monetize anything.
Also, we monetize if we think about like the onslaught of true crime documentaries and pedophilia documentaries.
Yes.
Like we are not. We are almost constantly trafficking in tragedy.
Yeah,
that's true.
So it's
true.
Not, this is like two steps away from that. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like some true crime, at least you can tell yourself you're trying to create meaning from like the truth of the situation, whereas snow globe doesn't create as much meaning, but maybe it does to some people. I don't know.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, like you're using this awful shit and the trauma of other people to be like, yo, you want to see some?
Exactly. It's like a Rotten.com.
Yeah, it's basically, hey, you want to see a dead body?
Yeah,
it's
right. Absolutely.
And imagine if that dead body was your mother. You'd right. be you would be fighting people up. Get the fuck out of here. But again, you know, please have respect at the very least at memorials.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do something wild at the Statue of Liberty, fine.
Yeah.
You know, but when, yeah, but at the end of the day, got to do it for the likes. That's the culture.
For the gram. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back. And real quick, Donald Trump has liked his first tweet in years. He's very active on Twitter, but he doesn't like things because he's, I guess, dead and empty on the inside. But so he liked a tweet, and I'm just going to read it to you guys. It is a tweet that says, "Every new Rihanna interview makes me grow stronger. We stan a work-life balance queen." And then it's a screen cap of a quote from Rihanna that includes the phrase, "Just like I nurture my business, I need to nurture personal time as well." Rihanna told Paulson, "I'll shut things down for 2 days, 3 days at a time. On my calendar, we now have the infamous P, which means personal days. This is a new thing." So, it's presidential time. The P for him is presidential time, executive time.
He gets a lot of that, though.
Yeah.
What was the last tweet he liked before this?
I don't know. It's been years, like literally years and years.
It's been, he's going through it.
He's absolutely
He's going through it. He's even interacting. Like,
take time for yourself, queen.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about self-care.
Yes.
He has 8 likes total before that. September 1st, 2017, it says, "Please, after several typos, he's just not presidential material." It's like in response to something I think George Papadopoulos. No, Trump tweeted. He liked, dude, his tweet. His
he liked
likes
his
don't
own
make
tweet.
Any sense. Donald Trump, 2013, before that, Donald Trump issued a statement on Ted Cruz's birth certificate. And it's like a photo of him saying, "Nixon was a quitter. I've done twice the bad stuff he did, but you won't see me resigning."
Mm. Cool.
What?
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe not the best way to gauge what's going on in his inner life, but it's just good to know. And also, I do stan a work-life balance queen.
So. Yeah, you have to.
It is a good reminder for all of us.
It is.
Yeah. I wondered if he went to other people's, like, "You see, but Rihanna can do it."
Right.
What's the problem?
Oh, so
people love her.
I get in trouble, but Rihanna gets away with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I got a new song coming out called Turd Boy.
He's definitely aging the least of any president in the history of the presidency.
Of course, because he's making it work for him at the detriment of the rest of the country.
He also came in so incredibly aged, so it's hard to heighten that.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. He does have all sorts of smoke and mirrors worked out.
Oh, man. I just want to take a makeup wipe to his face.
I know. Mm. Well, I just want to fill in around. Like, whoever his makeup artist is absolutely dogging him.
Like, doesn't he do his own?
Doing him so dirty. He must, because there are some, like, serious oversights, especially, like, around his eyes.
He doesn't blend.
He does not blend. His face and his neck.
Hello, beauty blender. Can you send him a beauty blender?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sponsor him.
Ugh.
But I can't imagine that he would. I feel like he would not do his own makeup.
Maybe he likes Fenty Gal. He likes Fenty Beauty.
I don't think
Beauty.
That they make orange.
Yeah, quite. I think Rihanna, it's not for him.
Yeah, she knows that's not a skin color.
Or he was trying it. He's like, Rihanna, I really think you should consider expanding the palette of colors you offer for your makeup. I was a big fan.
Guys, it's the moment we've all been waiting for, the 13th Annual Global Peacefulness Survey. And
what is it?
They rank countries around the world by how peaceful they are.
Oh, shit.
Based on, like, militarism, internal, like, confidence in leadership, internal confidence in institutions. Yeah, it's not our strongest event as a country. the U.S. is ranked 128th on the list. Yeah.
128?
128.
What's the bottom?
So the bottom is Afghanistan, just replaced Syria. So,
and we might as well just add that to our, tack that onto our score.
Right.
Since
we
caused that.
Yeah.
So really, I think we're number one.
So other Western countries, Australia is 13th, Canada, I think, is 4th, Germany 22nd, Britain 45th, and France 60th. And
who's number one?
Number one is Iceland.
Damn.
Good for them.
Yes. Because their fucking tap water is like we would pay $7 a bottle for.
I know.
Bless you.
Some of the factors they take into account are death from conflict, perceptions of global leadership, and that's that last one's the one where the U.S. they have a line graph of that, and everybody else is just kind of going along at the same pace. And right in 2016, the USA just falls off a cliff.
Like really,
it's like a really sharp drop.
Yeah, it's really
more pronounced.
Yeah, interesting.
Oh boy. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what happens next year.
Oh, jeez.
Can you imagine? Do you think we can go lower? You think we'll, I think the show will still be around if the Earth is still around. Will we go up or down?
But
projections.
What?
Can we climb up the charts? Do you think we can something?
2020?
Yeah.
Yeah. If we don't elect Donald Trump again.
Well, by this point, I figure it'll come out around this time next year. So still be in office.
Yeah. No, and we're probably going to continue.
I think things can get a lot worse. I think things can get a lot worse.
Yeah, because I think. I don't think we've even seen the beginning of the fucked up shit he can do.
Oh, we have.
Sadly.
Yeah. 2020 is going to be a nightmare.
It's already a nightmare.
Right.
Yeah.
But if he loses, I don't think he's going to leave peacefully. And I don't know. This is something that you can, like, just kind of generally feel in the ether of, like, day-to-day life that you're, like, if you travel abroad and, like, there's just a sense of peacefulness or you're not physically threatened or that like you don't have to assume one in every 20 people you pass is armed, like there you can like feel that in just like your day-to-day life.
It's wild when you go to countries like that and you're like, damn, there's no like collective tension that you just step off and you're like
there is like sort of a tangible dread
in
like America now.
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyways, let's talk polyosis, Miles.
Yeah. That's a new segment we're going to do. Yes. Talking about the polls and also scoliosis awareness. Mm-hmm. So Politico just did a new poll testing people on these hypothetical 2020 head-to-head matchups just to see kind of, okay, like if it was today, who's going to win? Oh, man. And not good for Trump. But again, we don't know what this really means because it's still, what, fucking 18 months away?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or 13 months, whatever it is. So head-to-head, Biden and Trump, 44% said they would choose a former vice president. 33% said they'd vote for Trump. 24% said undecided. Against Sanders, 42%. Against Trump, who had 32%. And then against Elizabeth Warren, statistical tie. Wow. Then, even when you go down to some of the other candidates like Kamala Harris and Cory Booker or Beto O'Rourke, just small leads, nothing significant. And, you know, they also note that in all of these matchups, Trump never got over 33%, even though some of these Democratic candidates were getting into the 40s. And, you know, there's a couple of things to keep in mind. Biden is not going to keep this momentum up the whole time as people put him up next to other people and they're going to be like, say words about your beliefs this time.
Just being like blandly presidential in people's memory is not something that's going to hold up well when
and
there starts.
I'm not sure who the fuck thinks he's going to bring revive bipartisanship to DC. Like what, again, like all the people he's pointed to is like, I worked with so-and-so. I'm like, you're talking about 30 years ago.
Right.
This is a new game, baby.
Yeah, and
they don't play.
Yeah. It's just age-based people who most of their life was before shit went terrible.
And also the other thing, you know, to keep in mind is that people are about 70% satisfied, happy about where the economy is right now.
Yeah, but so people tie the economy to the presidency in a way that just is not actually true or reliable. Does that
for
make
sure.
sense?
Yeah.
Right? Like they associate the two things even though they almost never sync up and have not so much to do with one another.
It's weird. They'll connect it when it doesn't need to be and then not make the connection when it's absolutely imperative that you understand that there's no connection there. Like I remember like when Obama came in, they're like, well, look what he did to the economy.
I'm sorry, my man. That's not how the economy works.
His shift just started and he came in with a mop and was like, what the fuck happened in here?
Very similarly when Trump got in office and people were like, oh, the economy is turning around. It's like, hey, but that's because of Obama's policy. Like if we wait a few more months and see what happens with the tariffs, shit's going to go down.
Right. And now you have Trump being like, okay, well, look at the economy now. Now he's really trying to make that connection. I mean, so we'll see what, like, if, I mean, I doubt he's going to actually kind of have any kind of coherent messaging around, like, how good he is.
Yeah,
for the
I'm actually very interested to see, like, what his campaign, because it looks like at this point there's no other Republican nominee. But, like, I'm very interested to see, like, what the Trump campaign looks like going forward, specifically because right now, pretty much any of the Democratic candidates could run against him and we could have an election and it would be competitive, which is saying a lot because there are, like, 25 people running.
Yeah. So many. Well, that's why we'll see those two debates. There'll be 2 days of debates just to fit in like those 20 people that actually get in. The other thing, though, too, looking at a lot of the stories around this polling is that, you know, this isn't good news, especially on top of that. There's even more polling that was showing that he's losing his grip on some of those swing states that delivered him those electoral votes. And this is from The New York Times, said, quote, after being briefed on a devastating 17 state poll conducted by his campaign pollster, Tony Fabrizio, Mr. Trump told aides to deny that his internal polling showed him trailing Mr. Biden in many of the states he needs to win, even though he is also trailing in public polls from key states like Texas, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. And when the top line details of the polling leaked, including numbers showing the president lagging in a cluster of critical Rust Belt states, Mr. Trump instructed aides to say publicly that other data showed him doing well.
Burn it.
Also, Democrats have about a 6-point lead on a generic congressional ballot. So, yeah, I mean, oh boy. This is what I'm saying. Like,
there's a lot of shit going against him. At the same time, the only incumbent to lose an election was George H.W. Bush, and that was when the economy went to shit. On the other hand, at this point during his presidency, George H.W. Bush's approval was plus 56. Trump's is minus 11 right now. So,
hey, man, you know, chin up. Chins up, my man.
You should tweet that at him.
I stopped tweeting. I used to just ask him if he eats pieces of shit for breakfast every time he tweeted, but it was too much. No, not that it didn't get old. I'm very juvenile and I'll die doing a terrible bit. I just didn't have the energy to keep up with all the shit that was being tweeted. But yeah, I think, again, that also points to when you look at this, right? He's losing those pieces of the puzzle that help to keep him in office, which keeps the threat of all his legal troubles, you know, at bay. And that's why I'm curious, like, because clearly, like, when you read things like this, he's now in that part where he's slowly entering the denial phase of being like, oh, fuck. Like, don't tell me that. I don't want to know. But, and then that's why I'm curious to see as things become more desperate, how even more desperate the kind of shit he'll do to distract and try and keep some kind of hold. And again, as he said before, he's always talked about, he's teased going to war as a way to stay in office. And ooh, that is a frightening fucking thought.
Yeah. I mean, that is why Bush 1's approval was so high at that time. It's because he just started a war, because the media at the time was calling him a wimp, literally.
Right. And goaded him into it.
Show you wimp.
I'll show you wimp. Do some war crimes.
Yes. Let's talk about Adweek, guys. We look to them for any, you know, reporting about millennials and young people in general. Adweek generally has their finger
on
the pulse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Youth culture.
So they published an article. I'm just going to read the title, the headline and subhead to you.
It's so aggravating, this is even an article on Adweek.
Yes. Why targeting millennial consumers might not be such a hot idea after all. And then subhead, a growing body of evidence shows why Gen Y consumers aren't ideal, because many of them are broke. That's the subhead. So,
we're ruining everything because we're broke and can't buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Then I like even how Adweek is like, here's the deal. They're the problem because they're broke. Otherwise, the consumer machine could run fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they weren't.
Yeah. It's really interesting to read all these things that we've known are true and have talked about for the past 2 years, but written from the perspective of like a consumerist, like advocate or like,
yeah, right.
You know, so they're talking about how this new survey of 4,000 American consumers determined that, you know, millennials are just not spending as much money on random shit, basically. And then they said, the problem is not their size, as millennials represent a larger consumer group than the baby boomers, and it's not the block of money they control. Millennials spend about $600 billion a year. The problem, rather, is that millennials are saddled with very large and unavoidable expenses that reduce their spending power when it comes to discretionary purchasing. That gets marketers so excited. Expenses like what? They write. Data from Deloitte and other sources point to at least two major factors that are impeding millennial spending power right now. Housing and student debt. What?
I know. It's like, is there a more obvious statement?
It's so weird to hear like a capitalist assessment of the fucking, the machinations of the terrible shit that happens in this stage of capitalism. Like, they're the people who sell the shit.
Right.
And then they're like, huh. It's interesting. We're noticing that this system that we're perpetuating has led to this consumer group not having enough money, and now we're kind of rubbing our chins about it, like, huh.
Right, yeah. But to have any other take would require self-awareness about their position in capitalism.
In it, right.
Exactly, and what it means to be foisting expectations of expenditure onto your consumers when your consumers are literally under the thumb of systemic debt, right?
Right.
And it's like if you're trying to eat and survive, it's like all of those articles about how millennials are killing certain industries,
yeah.
When in fact those industries don't exist to serve them.
Yeah.
And they should be changing their models.
Yeah. Hey, if you didn't eat a sandwich all the time, you'd have enough money for a house.
Yes. That is like an argument that really, yeah. Yeah. And it also, that's an argument that really like boils my blood, because it's like life is so difficult. If you need to have a sandwich out, do it. Like your $9 sandwich is not going to even the playing field as far as like generational wealth goes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the people who can buy houses in Los Angeles are from intergenerational wealth that like honestly they should be redistributing into the community and instead are investing in like assets, which is neither here nor there, but it's just like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, God. And none of them ever take the time to say, well, why is someone even forced to decide between a sandwich and healthcare?
Absolutely.
Like, why don't you zoom out a little bit on like the context of the
what you're asking? Yeah, it's like an examination of the symptoms that has no lens on the cause.
Yeah.
Right. It's a really important point that you don't see covered a lot in the media, is that millennials have, like, they spend a lot of money. It's just they're spending it on things that cost more to their generation, housing and student debt. Like,
right.
Student debt has gone, like, the cost of college has gone way up compared to previous generations, and so is housing.
Just erase that, all that fucking debt now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like what is actually, like, necessary is an examination of, like, why college costs have risen so exorbitantly. Like, at what point does it become almost predatory lending?
Yeah.
Right? Like, giving student loans out to 18-year-olds who maybe, like, do or do not have a cosigner, don't really know what's going on, making sure that they're like knowing the difference between federal and private loans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, at what point is that sort of like a predatory housing loan?
Yeah, well, and I think that's also just, I think fundamentally, we just also don't, when I think about the presidential race, I'm like, I'm more interested in candidates who question why things like health and education are profitable revenue streams for companies rather than
absolutely.
Like, these aren't things that need to generate revenue.
Right. Exactly. But I would argue that under capitalism, there is sort of the idea that anything and everything is available for purchase and available to monetize. And if that incentive exists, there's always going to be corporations and people who want it to exist. Like if we think about the pharmaceutical industry, specifically in America, we experience drug prices that no other country does because of things like, you know, patents. And there's just like no incentive to stop doing it because there's so much money inside of it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why we're having these like moments where we're having to really examine like the sort of systems we're living under. I'm like, how long can this go before it completely flames
everything
out?
Absolutely, and before it cannibalizes itself.
Yeah, because I mean that's what's happening now with all this kind of privatization of public works and things like that. So
yeah, that drives me nuts, especially like stories about like kids who will fill in potholes for free and the city will just like send them a check.
Right.
And it's just like, that is a broken state.
Yeah.
Right. Or there's like another one of like kid uses his like fucking chore money to pay off the school lunch debt. And you're
Right.
Oh.
I read one of those stories and the lunch debt was like $74 and it's like your local government can't, I'll send $74.
Right.
Like
yeah.
Your local government can't cover that. Like what is
Right. But instead, the way that gets turned into a news story is if a private individual has to cover it for the people. Like that's...
Yeah, but we also lift those stories up and celebrate them in a way that becomes like toxic. Like we're like, oh, that's so sweet. Instead of being like, that's actually super fucked up that they had to do that. Like
right.
Where are any of the like governmental support systems?
Yeah. I don't blame us though. I think like we're gonna find the glimmers of hope where we can. Like the people who built the system should be.
But I think at the same time you can cover that and you can say acknowledge that this person did something good.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Also in that article, because most of our articles are like, oh, and I mean 6-year-old Steven really went out of his way to make things were fair, rather than like he did that because he operates
failed,
in a fucking hellscape.
Exactly.
Where we put all this shit on this 6-year-old kid or however old this child is. Like, what the fuck is how that article should end?
Yeah, well, that would be like a more well-rounded and truthful examination of the issue instead of just like the one like human interest beat.
Right, because I think it's a little bit makes us feel good, but then it also distracts people that like we're actually racing against a clock of an issue that really needs to be addressed and not really taken seriously because we have moments and we just go, no.
Yeah, I think that it can placate people
in
a really dangerous way.
Yeah, for sure. Well, if we ever get a media outlet, we'll cover that side of it.
Yeah, and everyone will just be like,
what the fuck?
Yeah, at the end, it's like, boo. But also, shout out to the child, but also, fuck the system that put him or her, them in
that
situation.
Position. Yeah. All right, we're going to take another break. We'll be right back.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at meaningfulbeauty.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back. And Radiohead is also back in the news. What?
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck
I'm talking somebody about. I'll just read this excerpt from Pitchfork, just so you know. They put out about 16 hours of unreleased material from around the time they were recording OK Computer. And if you're a fan, you'd be like, wow, that's got to be great. The backstory is kind of interesting. It said, earlier today, Radiohead released over 16 hours of unheard demos, blah, blah, blah. Another miscellany recorded around the time they were working on OK Computer. According to a statement from guitarist Johnny Greenwood, the band never wanted to put these recordings out. But once they realized someone had stolen a cache of mini discs from Tom York's archive and was reportedly demanding $150,000 to not release them, they decided to upload everything onto Bandcamp themselves. You can stream it all for free for the next 18 days only, or pay £18 for downloads, with the proceeds going to the environmental organization Extinction Rebellion. And then, like, Tom York had this part. He's just like, yeah, the material's not V interesting. There's a lot of it. Just want to, like, check it out. Yeah. There's, I mean, I was listening to some of this stuff. If you're a fan, I don't know how many of y'all are Radiohead fans in here, but, like, it's interesting to see some songs go from, like, not that great to, like, what you heard on OK Computer.
And it's
like,
worse versions of the songs that I love, but it's
like a behind the scenes.
Yeah. And it's really interesting to see how, like, the vibe of OK Computer was, like, is totally missing from, like, a lot of the songs. Like, what was the one that we were listening to that sounded, like, kind of loungy and, like, jazzy and, like,
Motion Picture Soundtrack.
Yeah, Motion Picture Soundtrack, which is, like, the most, like, stark and just dark song on that. Well, I don't know. They're all pretty stark and dark. But, it, like, has, like, a loungy, like,
it's
fun vibe.
But in a way, you know, like, if you're a creator, it's one of those things to see. It's, like, even people you hold up to be geniuses, like, they had to walk through some shit to get to where they got.
Yeah,
you know?
It provides, like, amazing transparency for art, you know what I mean?
And
it's like watching the homework happen.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the value as I was listening to it, because there are even moments where, like, Tom's, like, just demoing stuff on guitar by himself, and you're like, whoa, I think this is him, like, in the process of writing, like, one of these songs. And then you can kind of tell, you're like, okay. And then it takes a collective, takes the Johnny Greenwoods and everybody of the world to be like, oh, I got this idea, let's flesh it out, let's make it something better. But yeah, I think it does demystify. I think it's good for creative people, especially because for me, especially when I was, like, first getting into anything, music or comedy, I had a very, like, skewed perception of what it meant to be a creative. Like, I thought people were just geniuses and sat in a room and just went, like, blacked out and made shit. And I had no appreciation for process or respecting my own process. And I think things like this help you see, like,
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole thing is process, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's 16 hours. That's, like, yeah, I mean, it can be painful to, especially when you're first starting, it can be painful to see the kind of work that you want to make and the work that you are making, right? And not understanding, like, or even as you, I think, like, mid-level people experience specifically something where it's like, okay, I know what my taste is, and I know the things I like, and I know what I want to make, but I don't have any of the tools to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like, stuff like this helps us remember that, like, a lot of it is trial and error.
Yeah.
And to be, like, more gentle with ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
And take the sting out of the word failure, or even what failure is.
Yeah, or celebrate failure, right? Where it's like, that's just another avenue that I don't have to bother going down.
It's an iteration.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Or it's more information, really, is what that is. Like, failure. Oh, my God. I mean, we could start a podcast just talking about failure, embracing failure.
Go I'm sure read there's some of the early drafts of, like, some classic movies, like Star Wars or, like, Batman or Spider-Man. Like, some of the early attempts to back to the future was, like, stupid as fuck in some of the early drafts.
More stupid than, hey, Chuck, it's your cousin Marvin.
Marvin Berry.
Marvin Berry. That sound you're looking for?
Well, yeah, whenever I feel really bad about myself, I read the Californication pilot script and everything feels better.
Is it a mess?
Is it really bad?
It's a fucking mess. Yeah. In a really enjoyable way.
Sure.
Enjoyable way.
Wait, in a way that you're like, it's so bad, it's good?
Yeah. It comes back around in on itself.
Wow.
Yeah. He has sex with that 16-year-old and she punches him in the face.
Yeah.
You should all read it. It's good.
Does he have a sex with a 16-year-old in the show?
Yeah, but she doesn't know. He doesn't know that she's 16.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
So it's fine.
So it's chill.
Yeah. So it's chill, dude.
That show, in my memory, I was just like, oh, wow, that show is super fucked up.
Yeah.
But I haven't really thought about it in a long time.
That was another show on Showtime. Didn't see it because it didn't have Showtime.
There you
or
go.
Except a couple episodes.
I watched it in like later, like once it was on Hulu or whatever.
Oh, got you.
Yeah. I only saw it like maybe 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Guys, let's talk about the most important story that we have covered in our time doing the Daily Zeitgeist. Yep. There is a new flavor of Mountain Dew. Sweet lightning.
Oh, sweet, sweet lightning.
Ellery, it sounds like I can already tell just by the look on your
face. Is it like a sweet tea soda? Is that what the
fan?
Kind of. Okay, so first, we have to discuss, I think Baja Blast came out like 15 years ago.
Yes.
Okay, so it's been a while.
Really? That long ago?
Yeah, and now we have something new.
You know what's weird?
But there are different iterations of Baja Blast.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second.
Oh.
You're rope-a-doping us on your Mountain Dew knowledge?
Excuse us, Mountain Dew knowledge.
What the fuck?
Okay, go on.
I know. That's all I know.
Oh.
I know there's like a red one and like a teal
code
one.
Code red.
And then
Baja
like
Blast.
Maybe a dark blue one, a medium blue.
There's a yellowish one that they have at Taco Bell that I usually get.
I just do the regular. Yeah.
You know, that's the one time I drink it. I don't know why I'm going to Taco Bell. I'm like, got to drink Mountain Dew because I'm trying to just fully destroy my insides.
Ever since I went miniature golfing at a place with that blue water, I've always wanted to drink something that looked like that. So I go with that.
Or Barbicide.
Yeah,
toilet
exactly.
Toilet bowl colored drink. Yeah.
Do people still have those blue toilet water cakes in their shit? I felt like
my
that was a very
does.
90s, 80s thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you have one too? Super Juice Ana Jose?
The elderly. Our toilets actually have them. After the cleaners come sometimes.
No, but that's them putting in, like, there's like a cleaner versus like the thing
when
you put in the tank.
Time.
That
yeah,
blue water
yeah,
comes
yeah.
out the whole time. And then I always remember being like, why is this necessary? Because my pee was just turning green.
Wait, sorry, real quick question.
But that's how you can tell if you're drinking enough water.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or just in regular, you just be like, how dark
yeah,
is
this
it?
This is like
I'm going
fun.
For clear. Right. I'm like, what shade will I get?
Yeah,
out?
What shade of blue can
is
you
it
get?
Is it forest
yeah.
green?
So we're at the 15-year anniversary of Baja Blast and the 25-year anniversary of the O.J. Simpson murders.
Wow.
Is Baja Blast honoring the lives of Nicole Brown Smith? All right, sorry. Fuck me.
Hold on, now let me finish this now. So July 1st, they're billing it as, quote, the first exclusive beverage to be offered at KFC. Now, here's the deal.
Oh.
Because it's Yum Brands, Yum Breezies. This is meaning that they are going to basically, this is something that they've designed to work with the Chicon at KFC. Okay. So as they go on, the whole goal with Sweet Lightning was to, quote, create the perfect pairing for KFC's original recipe fried chicken. The result is a golden-hued soda with a punch of peach and a touch of honey flavors, ostensibly a crisp and sweet counterpoint to deep-fried batter.
Now, see, that is some rookie shit, because if you're trying to match KFC, you don't tell people what's in your ingredients. You don't tell them, like, what the flavor profile is, right? Like, because isn't KFC, like, all about secrecy?
I mean, it's MSG, like, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, isn't that the
they
secret?
They don't mention it.
Yeah. I love Mountain Dew.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, not as much as you. But like in the context of a Yum Brands restaurant, shout out to Sweet Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And making us all have our teeth rot.
Yeah, Ellery, I think it's against God.
What, Mountain Dew in general?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No, go on. I like this.
What do you drink when you go to South Carolina?
I try to do water.
What?
Yeah.
Do you drink? Oh, yeah, you're drinking
I try
water.
To do. Well, I'm not actually. I drink a lot of coffee and not so much water. But I used to work at a bakery like when I was in high school. And how we cleaned the ovens is we would pour Mountain Dew on them and turn them on. And it was so acidic that it would like chemically clean the bottom of the oven, mm-hmm. like get everything up out of it.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so in the oven, like at the base of it,
yeah,
you just put a little pool of
Mountain
Dew? We would
put a little pool of Mountain Dew.
And run the
like,
oven.
Yeah, and we would run self-clean on the oven. So it would like bubble up.
Yeah.
And it would.
It was like brand new?
Yeah, it would like wipe out all of
I
the
love it.
Crust in
it. I love it. Can you do that on a flat top grill too? Then,
I mean,
maybe?
That's what, probably, yeah. That's what it's doing to the inside of your stomach also.
Great. Because my poops look like it's
just like
cleaning it out. So thank you, Mountain Dew.
Just blowing it all out. Yeah,
bunch of weirds. Yeah. Oh, God.
Very smooth on the inside.
Very smooth. Yeah. Brand new on the inside, doctors would say, if I got a colonoscopy.
Ellery, it has been a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you?
You can find me at Ellery Smith on Twitter, and I run a monthly comedy show called Funnelingus. We have one Saturday in Los Angeles.
I'm seeing a theme.
Yeah.
With your t-shirt.
Vegetarian.
Oh, yeah. Funnelingus.
Yeah. No, vegetarian.
I was trying to get it for the show. I think we might do like a show auction.
Oh,
so I'm trying to find like fun vagina themed stuff.
Yeah. Nice. Okay.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Wait. It's Michael Cohen tweeting out his prison address in case anybody wants to send him mail.
I didn't see that it was actually Michael Cohen.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He tweeted out where you can find him in prison if you want to send him.
For future correspondence.
If you want to send him a letter.
Yo, should we fucking start to get pen pal? Should we catfish Michael Cohen?
That's so funny.
He's happily married. I know, isn't that so
well,
fucking
we'll
funny?
See, we'll find out soon enough, Ellery.
And he's also in upstate New York.
Yeah, is he?
Isn't that what it says?
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah. He's just right down the street from you.
He's in the same prison as the situation.
Dan and Moore. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
It's the, That's I mean, so maybe they're funny. Cellies. But, maybe oh, man, cellies. Look, I'll test the bonds of Michael Cohen's marriage with a new character.
There was something about that made me laugh so hard. Just him being like, sure, I'm going to jail, but if you want to write me, like, here's my address.
Right.
Oh, I use that filter on Snapchat.
For all future correspondence.
For all future correspondence.
Damn.
He's probably getting, I'm sure there are a lot of people who are sending him plenty of shit.
Absolutely.
Also, this man doesn't need any money for his commissary either. Don't put money in his commissary, please. He has money.
Miles,
I'm just thinking purely like when you're looking out for him in jail.
Sticky
like,
buns.
Yeah, like he doesn't need it. He's all kinds of money hidden somewhere and he has a family. If anything,
he's
help
got
the
some
situation.
Offshore accounts.
Yeah, 100%. Find me.
Yeah,
Twitter.
You.
Yes, Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. A couple of tweets I like. First one's from Nick Vatterott, at Nick Vatterott. Don't get plastic surgery. Get paper surgery. It's better for the environment.
Mm.
Another one, Dana Donnelly. I'm dating someone who asked me when my 17-year-old sister turns 18 every single time we hang out.
Oh
I deserve better. This guy clearly has a hard time remembering birthdays, and I don't want to be disappointed on mine.
Shout out to Dana. She helps me produce my podcast.
Dope.
Very funny girl.
Yeah, I'm loving the tweets.
She's great.
Yeah.
Her sister is a 17-year-old like ASMR model who dropped out of high school to do it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's like
and
a
successful?
Real, I don't know.
I guess. Did you say, a what model?
ASMR. ASMR. Maybe it's not
ASMR.
A model. Performer.
Oh, got you.
Performer.
I just heard MR. I was like, what's an MR model?
Artist, I think.
Artist, right.
Yes. Oh, is that? And is she doing like just like fingered like let me just tap?
Yeah. She eats glue.
No, shut up.
No,
she
really.
Eats glue?
Yeah. I'm like plugging Dana's sister right now.
Yo, wait, hold on.
She might have removed the video, but I'm almost there was one. It was her most popular one because it looked like cum.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. It's like here's me downing a bunch of Elmer's school glue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's non-toxic, so right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what your kids eat paste.
Exactly.
So it's scratching a few itches. Because maybe if you grew up having the mad crush on like the kid who ate the glue, you're like...
It's scratching a few itches for sure.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Sean Clements tweeted, still so hard to believe that behind closed doors, some of these Hollywood guys secretly behave the same way they do at parties and in interviews and everywhere else. And Teresa Lee tweeted, has anyone checked on the guy who wrote, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye? I mean, are they okay? What happened to that guy? And Cam Tyson tweeted a screen cap of the all-time list of most highly paid athletes. Number three, Tiger Woods at $1.7 billion. Number two, Michael Jordan at $1.85 billion. Number one, Gallius Apuleius Diocles at $15 billion adjusted for inflation. And Cam Tyson tweeted, eat shit, Michael Jackson, you broke bitch. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we write out.
This is from a group called Extremely Bad Man. And it's called Up With The Birdies. And they're like a trio, I think, from L.A. And I just like it because it's got that like 90s trip-hop vibe to it. And it sounds like...
Oh, that's what we were listening to earlier?
Yeah, it sounds like it could have been from them, but they do a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I thought it was Jamiroquai earlier, so...
Jamiroquai, they're in their own lane.
Okay. Yeah, my bad.
Yes. The Respect Daily to the Space Cowboy.
Yes, yes, of course. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. We're going to ride out on that Jamiroquai song. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.